WVW Broadcast Network and The New American are pleased to present The New American TV with your host, Rebecca Terrell. This broadcast is committed to helping you understand the truth behind the news. And now, here's your host, Rebecca Terrell.
Welcome to The New American TV, where we bring you the truth behind the news. Today is Wednesday, March 1st, and the big news for conservatives is today's CPAC kickoff. The Conservative Political Action Conference bills itself as the largest and most influential gathering of conservatives in the world, and the star-studded lineup includes names like Donald Trump and Carrie Lake. Our New American crew is there covering the event, so stay tuned to The New American TV for updates. Later in this broadcast, TNA Senior Editor Veronica Karolinko will join us to give insights about what to expect. For now, let's take a look at today's headlines. Project Veritas's founder and former leader James O'Keefe is scheduled to appear at CPAC. Chairman Matt Schlapp made that announcement on Steve Bannon's War Room.
I want to break some news here that a lot of us have been reading about James O'Keefe at Project Veritas and be trying to figure out what's going on there. I've been talking with James. James is going to come. So a War Room exclusive. If you want to come, root on not only all of us who get the sharp end of the stick and the horns from the left, but James O'Keefe is really getting it. And I think we all need to be there for James, and I think everyone's going to want to hear what he has to say.
Oh, wow. So James O'Keefe, but breaking news, James O'Keefe is coming to CPAC. I want everybody, this is incredible, because we got to be there in person.
O'Keefe has also just released a new tip line. Whistleblowers can send information to him by writing to OKeefeTips@protonmail.com. After his recent ouster from the investigative journalism group he founded, O'Keefe is still ready and raring to go. Speaking of conservative activism, online website Public Square is set to merge with Omid Malik's Colombier Acquisition Group in a $200 million deal. The company, which is backed by Donald Trump Jr. and former Arizona State candidate Blake Masters, was created to give every anti-woke consumer an Amazon-like alternative. The founder of Public Square, Michael Seifert, describes his company here.
But Public Square, publicsq.com, was started to help people that love their country, love their liberties, as endowed by their creator, and want to advance those values in the public square. We created this platform to help those people spend money in alignment with their values at businesses that have taken pledges to honor those values.
The San Diego-based company launched nationwide 7 months ago and now hosts nearly 50,000 patriotic vendors and has processed millions of transactions. Omid Malik's Colombier Acquisition Corporation agreed to merge with PSQ Holdings Incorporated, a marketplace that connects who it describes as freedom-loving Americans. The combined entity is set to be valued at more than $200 million. A noble endeavor that hopefully continues to gain traction, but from spending money, we move on to extracting it, namely by taxation. According to the Daily Mail, the IRS is developing a new Biden-backed algorithm that will see more white and Asian people targeted for tax audits to boost so-called racial equality or racial equity. A conservative legal group named the American First Legal Foundation is accusing the Biden administration of directing the Internal Revenue Service to audit people along racial lines in a clear violation of civil rights statutes. The nonprofit, founded by Trump advisor Stephen Miller, seeks to set itself up as a conservative foil to the ACLU.
Conservatives need to have a legal organization to answer that. And that's why I'm doing this. And with brilliant attorneys like Matt Whitaker involved in the effort and many more that we are adding to the team, I'm confident that we will be able to turn the tables, as President Trump said, but it is going to require the support of millions of Americans who care about their country and know this needs to be done.
The America First Legal Foundation has been issuing a flurry of lawsuits to block policies that radicalize and divide America, such as the farm subsidy bill that gave grants to people on the basis of race and pointedly excluded European Americans. Likewise, with the infrastructure bill that had strings attached to it, which were racially exclusionary. In the recent case with the IRS, they filed a Freedom of Information Act request claiming that an executive order President Biden signed encourages the IRS to alter its algorithms to audit more white and Asian taxpayers and fewer black taxpayers. In keeping with the theme of money, Russia turns to the Chinese yuan in an effort to ditch the dollar. Russia, locked out of Western financial systems, may be pivoting east as a strategy. This as a result of sanctions due to its actions in Ukraine, as the European Commission president explains here.
Later today, we will present a package of massive and targeted sanctions to European leaders for approval. With this package, we will target strategic sectors of the Russian economy by blocking their access to technologies and markets that are key for Russia. We will weaken Russia's economic base and its capacity to modernize. And in addition, we will freeze Russian assets in the European Union and stop the access of Russian banks to European financial markets. Like with the first package of sanctions, we are closely aligned with our partners and allies, the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, but also, for example, Japan and Australia.
Energy exporters are increasingly getting paid, and when Russia's sovereign wealth fund, a war chest to support government spending burdened by battlefield costs in Ukraine, is using the Chinese currency to store its oil riches. Russian companies have borrowed in yuan, and households are stashing savings in it. The Chinese currency's rise inside Russia deepens ties between the two countries. It also serves China's longstanding but mostly frustrated campaign to make the yuan a more prominent feature of global finance and commerce. Joining me now to discuss this in greater depth is the New American's Daniel Natal. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rebecca. Yeah, I mean, what's happening, we've talked about this in several previous broadcasts, is that the Atlanticist power grid does not want Germany, Russia, and China kind of combining into Eurasia, because if that happens, they will be the most powerful economic bloc in history, and the geopolitical center will shift from the Atlantic to Central Asia. So they're all of the 20th century has been about blocking Germany's friendship with Russia. They do not want Germany getting cheap fuel and energy from Russia, and they do not want Russia getting technology from Germany. And so peaceful trade has to be disrupted. And so World War I, they disrupted the Berlin-Baghdad Railroad to stop Germany from being able to, you know, kind of get like oil from you know, the East. And the latest destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline, which Cy Hirsch says was the United States, was the attempt to kind of break up Germany getting energy from Russia. And so really, I mean, Germany is the actual target of this. They do not want them to kind of build up, because if they build up, then the EU will get powerful and be able to pull away from the United States' kind of sphere of influence. And so what they're trying to do is through these sanctions, they're weakening Russia. But what it's doing is that it's causing Russia to have to get closer to China. And so they're using their currency. Right now, Russia and China are talking about a gold-backed currency, or a currency that's actually backed by iridium and other rare earth elements as well. Silver, a basket of elements will be backing this currency. And as I said before, Sergei Glazyev is the guy who's, you know, the point man in creating this new currency. Right. So the yuan may just be like a step toward that new currency. And when that happens, you know, that's going to be a game changer.
It absolutely will. What's the future for the U.S. dollar in all of this?
Exactly. And so that's a great question, because what's happening, Russia has already ditched U.S. treasuries, right? They've ditched our bonds. They no longer have them. They got rid of them, just like they're de-dollarizing now. China stopped buying our bonds, right? So right now, the United States is in a position where the bond market is not being favorable to the United States. And all of our spending is predicated on people buying our bonds. We right. fund our military, we fund our social programs on bonds that other foreign countries, you know, kind of, you know, purchase from us. Right. And so if the world starts ditching our bonds and starts ditching our dollars, you know, it's over for the American empire. So right now, the United States and this is why the neocons are panicking and talking about even putting nukes in Ukraine, triggering World War III, because if the world is allowed to de-dollarize and ditch our bonds, we're through.
Wow. Oh, scary stuff. Well, moving on to science news, researchers have detected a heartbeat-like signal emanating from the sun. The peer-reviewed scientific journal Nature Communications published the study. Space Weather News reported on the strange pulse here.
Scientists have recently detected a mysterious heartbeat-like signal coming from the sun that repeats every 10 to 20 seconds. This signal was found in a C-class solar flare, located approximately 3,106 miles above the sun's surface, and is known as a quasi-periodic pulsation, QPP. While these pulses have long been a source of debate among solar physicists, identifying the source of the heartbeat could help scientists better understand how disastrous solar storms are released.
Scientists analyzed the results of microwave observations that were carried out using the expanded Owens Valley Solar Array Radio Telescope in California. Since the Earth is technically in the sun's atmosphere, who knows what effects these pulses may have on climate and geological activities. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has made an announcement that LGBTQ plus kids are not as healthy or happy as their heterosexual peers. The agency's Youth Risk Behavior Survey, published in February, categorized high school students under these two groups and found that those who identify themselves as gender confused experience more than double the rate of poor mental health. They're three times as likely to seriously consider suicide and more likely than their peers to misuse or use alcohol or drugs. The reason the CDC refers to this group as LGBTQ+, instead of what we're used to hearing, LGBTQ+, is because the data cover the time period of 2011 through 2021, and the term transgender was not used in those annual assessments. Future studies, they say, will include the T, which would indicate, Daniel, that they expect these unhealthy lifestyles to continue and exacerbate.
Yeah. This is very troubling. One of our own people, Annika Leon by name, gave me a book called Irreversible Damage by Abigail Schreier, and she enjoined me to read it, and it was very troubling. Like seeing that according to the data before 2012, there were so few girls that they weren't even in the literature before 2012, and now there's an explosion of, you know, children identifying. I think among the Zoomers, it's now 20% are identifying through this. And the book makes a really persuasive case that it's social contagion. That when it's kind of like the Salem witch trials, when one girl saw a witch, then the rest of the girls, oh, I see the witch. And you know, everybody, hysteria takes place. Like after Karen Carpenter had anorexia was extremely rare. And then after it got media attention, lots of people who wanted attention started saying, oh, I have anorexia too. And it caused the social contagion. Same thing with cutting, with like the goth movement. And then it, like that same psychology is now transferred onto transsexualism. And you know, and it's exploding, but it's very interesting that it's only exploding since 2012. And social scientist Jonathan Haidt just wrote an article based on his research that he said that mental health among teens has mental disease among teens has exploded since 2012. And he's been tracking this, and he says that the vector is social media. So kids are basically, you know, kind of watching social media. They're watching trans characters in their cartoons. Disney is promoting it. Like their teachers are promoting it. They're little kids are now being, you know, conditioned to color in rainbow flags and Pride Month. And they're told, you know, if you're an evil oppressor, you know, but there's a way out of being an evil oppressor if you're part of a new marginalized group. And a lot of kids are being channeled into this, and it's tragic.
Right. And, you know, we covered that story yesterday about the basketball team in Vermont dropping out of the state tournament because they were going to have to play a team with a male player. Called a transgender female, I think is the way they refer to it. I get confused on what you're supposed to say, actually. But the whole thrust of the story is, oh, look how evil the school is for pulling out of the state tournament and refusing to play with a transgender athlete. Well, shouldn't we be focused for the health of children? Shouldn't we be focused on praising a school like that and encouraging mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, like Marcus Aurelius said, he said, the gods do not punish us. He said, you know, there are no punishments, there are only consequences. And kids aren't being taught this. Like there were two studies that said that, you know, people who go into alternative lifestyles, they die 22 years younger. than people. And the suicide rates, especially among the trans community, are sky high. The last time I saw it was 46%. And so, I mean, you know, they're not taught this. They're not taught that, you know, if you pursue this path, there's a consequence. They're kind of lied to and marketed, you know, and now it's showing up in, you know, kind of the mental health crisis that we're seeing since 2012, according to Jonathan Hype.
It's just such scary stuff. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for your insights today. We're out of time. I do encourage everyone to visit us at thenewamerican.com, where we're following these and other headlines. And we will see you back for some CPAC news after this break.
All right, parents, listen up. We've all seen the countless examples of how radical leftists have been destroying American schools. It's no longer just about the terrible math and reading levels. Now radical left teachers birthed from liberal universities are forcing gender indoctrination in kindergarten. They're teaching lessons on white guilt.
Freedom Project Academy has perfected live online learning over the course of a decade. I get a ton of great feedback about this program, a ton.
They're built on Judeo-Christian values, a classical curriculum. What does that mean? It means they're taught, your children are taught the way that the founding generations of the country. My own son, Noah, did Freedom Project Academy for several years when he was younger.
The more we tell our friends about these things, the more people will get on board. And I believe that we can be the catalyst to some real change.
We must save the West. Our way of life and our culture is under attack. And because of patriots like you and your project, I have optimism for the future.
Imprisonment, forced labor, permanent separation from my family, perhaps death. I knew what could happen to people who were caught trying to defect, but the watchtowers stood yards away. The possibility of a new life in a different world, one without tyranny, was within sight. The West. I thought of the rewards no longer crushed under the boot of communism. I would work and make money, no longer restrained by the chains of collectivism. I would say what I wanted, without fear of spies and informants nearby. I would be free. The frozen rain and Romanian mud seeped through my gloves and cloths. I fantasized about a fire burning in the wood stove of my parents' home. But I pushed those thoughts from my mind, closed my eyes, and waited for the cover of the darkness.
Get Defector, a true story of tyranny, liberty, and purpose by Mark Hobovkovich with Paul Dragoo, a thrilling page-turner that will remind you how precious yet vulnerable freedom is. Available at shopjbs.org or Amazon. For a limited time, get 20% off your entire order using promo code DEFECTOR20 when you purchase Defector at shopjbs.org.
Welcome back to The New American TV, where we bring you the truth behind the news. As we reported earlier, CPAC begins today, and our New American crew is going to be there. Veronica Kirilenko, who is one of the New American senior editors, is joining me today to talk about what's to be expected. Veronica, welcome to the program.
Hi, Rebecca. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. It's good to see you, and a little bit jealous that you get to attend this exciting event. Tell us a little bit about what you expect to go on there.
Yes, absolutely. Rebecca, CPAC is hands down one of the biggest political and press events of the year. The organizers say that there are just two more popular political events than CPAC, and those are the State of the Union and the White House Correspondents' Dinner. The organizers also call it the largest and most influential gathering of conservatives in the world. And, you know, I do not have a reason not to trust them on that, just from what I saw last year in Orlando at my very first CPAC. And, you know, it is estimated that each year CPAC brings together over 18,000 people, from college students to retired conservatives and everyone in between. And the general public is really diverse in terms of age and backgrounds. And please do not believe those who peddle that misconception that conservatives are old white men. It's partially true. This cohort is well represented at CPAC for sure. But there are even more college-aged youth of different ethnicities, lots of Black students, Hispanics, you name them, lots of Asian folks. So it's awesome. And it warmed my heart last year to see so many young people who are just starting their life paths being really God-loving, patriotic, pro-life, pro-limited government, everything that we support. And it was really inspiring and therapeutic even to see these folks, people mingle, chat, have a good time in between the panel discussions and speeches, and the speakers represent, so many influential people, prominent conservative organizations, think tanks, educational institutions. Then there will be lots of elected officials, of course, congressmen, senators, as well as states, governors, lieutenant governors, attorneys general. There will be various media personalities, celebrities, grassroots activists, and former White House officials. And of course, the cherry on top will be President Donald Trump speaking on Saturday. I'd really like to stress, Rebecca, how CPAC was a Trump land last year with so many attendees wearing MAGA gear, hats, neckties, shirts. I'm sure it will be like that this year too. And in my view, it's significant that disgraced former Vice President Mike Pence rejected an invitation to this DC event. He knows the public has neither forgiven nor forgotten how he betrayed Trump on January 6, 2021, when he did not overturn the fraudulent results of election 2020. And I will apologize to no one for saying that Donald Trump won and Mike Pence betrayed the Constitution and the country. So the CPAC crowds will not give him a warm welcome. And what else I wanted to say, that this conference theme is Protecting America Now. In one of his recent interviews, CPAC chairman Matt Schlapp, whom I think we will be speaking to and interviewing either tomorrow or on Friday, we'll see. He stated that this theme is obvious because the United States is facing so many challenges and threats right now, from the invasion of illegal immigrants, a Chinese spy balloon crossing the continent, rampant crime rates, drug use, social media and work, woke corporate attacks on traditional values and big tech, censorship of conservatives. I think the message of the Protecting America from its enemies, foreign and domestic, is something that resonates well with everyday Americans and American patriots today. And it's also worth mentioning that CPAC is the starting place for the 2024 GOP primaries. It ends with the release of the presidential poll of attendees. All three Republican presidential candidates will speak: President Donald Trump, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, and entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy will be there and speaking. Potential candidate and former U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is also a speaker. And this year's convention will also have a heavy focus, I think, on the new House GOP majority, efforts to build on it in the 2024 election, and the new debates sparked by Marjorie Taylor Greene about political divorce between red and blue states. So there will be so many topics to cover for sure. The conference will last for three consecutive days. It technically starts today, but we'll just go there later and pick up our media badges. This time it will be this event will be held right outside of Washington, D.C. at the Gaylor National Resort and Convention Center. So if any of the viewers are in the D.C. area or in Maryland, Northern Virginia, please come and say hello to our crew and to the John Birch Society members. As you know, Rebecca, the parent company of the New American, the John Birch Society will have a booth there, which will be crashing for the interviews.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic overview, Veronica. Thank you so much. Now, I know that you are planning to, you already have some interviews set up. Who are the personalities that you're going to be talking with while you're there?
Some of the interviews we do try to schedule in advance, knowing that the attendees usually have very tight, busy schedules, and some of the attendees and speakers will be caught on the spot, hopefully. Among those who have already confirmed are the former Director of National Intelligence, Rick Grenell, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, host of the America First podcast, Bastian Gorka, Carrie Lake of Arizona, our good friend Dr. Robert Malone, for sure, and a couple of other speakers.
Oh, that's fantastic. I know that you're going to enjoy that, and you'll also be able to speak with others that you can get a hold of, I'm sure, during the event. I know you said you're going this evening. There's an opening event tonight. What does that entail?
It will be just to pick up the media credentials, and that's it. No opening. The official opening will be tomorrow with Matt Schlapp giving an opening speech together with Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio.
Wonderful. And then are you going to be there? I know that it's an all-day event, then you said Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we are also going to be, you're going to be posting all of these interviews at thenewamerican.com. How can people find out more information and follow you as you go?
I suppose we will be posting everything live on Rumble. So please go to the New American channel on Rumble, and then they will be stay there once they're posted.
Wonderful. Great.
And of course it will be at the New American. I'm not sure when, but please keep an eye on the New American. It's the best way to stay in touch with us.
Absolutely. That's thenewamerican.com. And we are going to also be airing some of your interviews here at the New American TV as we go. So we encourage everybody to check in here as well. So, Veronica, we wish you the best with the event. Be safe. I know that that's kind of a crazy area to be in. And but we do wish you the best. And thank you so much for being with us today to share this information. We will see you tomorrow for CPAC.
Yes, thank you, Rebecca. It was a pleasure to see you and speak with you.
Absolutely. And we encourage everyone to visit us online at thenewamerican.com. Also visit us at jbs.org, where we will have information about this as the event progresses. And we will be back right after this break.
I certainly would not want a constitutional convention. I mean, whoa. Who knows what would come out of that?
Just imagine if we have a constitutional convention, the number of people who will be unhappy and the number of people who say the results are not valid, and then they'll just ignore the entire Constitution.
What we need are just more people that would read the one we have.
It isn't the Constitution that's the problem. It is the people who ignore the Constitution that usurp power and abuse the constitutional power that they ostensibly have.
If you can't enforce an existing piece of paper, how are you going to enforce a piece of paper that has a little more writing to it? In other words, it's been amended.
It's up to us to hold our elected officials accountable.
What can you do to elect good representatives and senators in your state legislature who understand the Constitution and are willing to take a stand?
As a lumberjack, I've been cutting wood for decades. My job is pretty straightforward. I see the wood, I chop the wood. My axe goes through every time. You remember when everyone bought all the toilet paper? And they wanted me to wear these things? And someone invested a lot of money into this stuff. They say I'm part of a global plan. I don't think so. It's too hot, it's too cold. You know what? The weather changes. We even hear crazy ideas on how kids should learn.
Here's the news, Dad.
Is it, son? Is it?
What about this one, Dad?
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days. There's just too much baloney out there. At the New American, they cut through the baloney and give me the truth.
Visit thenewamerican.com and subscribe to get 50% off the cover price. And if you want an even better deal, use the promo code 10OFFSUB. Again, that's 10OFFSUB for more than 50% off.
Welcome back to The New American TV, where we bring you the truth behind the news. You know, the story is that humans are destroying the planet with our unquenchable thirst for fossil fuels. And they say the science is settled. But that's not so, according to the scientists involved with the Heartland Institute. They had their conference this weekend, and our own Alex Newman, senior editor of The New American magazine, attended. He gathered a number of very interesting interviews. We're about to air one right here, so let's take a look.
Hey, everybody. We are here at the Heartland Institute's Climate Conference. I'm with Frank Lassay. He is the president of Truth in Energy and Climate. He used to work in the Walker administration in Wisconsin, and he used to actually be the president of the Heartland Institute. Frank, it's wonderful to be with you. Thank you so much. So you've been focused a lot on energy policy. Yes. 50,000-foot question. What do you think about the Biden administration's energy policy so far?
The Biden administration policy is really terrible. I tend to term it and try to make things more easily understood for regular people, and I've changed my diet radically. I actually been vegan for a while. I wouldn't recommend it, but it works for some. And they're kind of trying to do this, replace energy-dense fossil fuels that provide 80% of our energy in the world, in the United States and the world, with something that's very diffuse. And if you're going to become a vegan, you have to have lots of vegetables, lots and lots. And no sane person, unless they want to be on a starvation diet, would go about shutting down your meat and potatoes diet and making it really expensive, which the Biden administration is doing, before you line up new food sources. That's one big part of it. The other issue is wind and solar. They're finally admitting that they're part-time energy sources, and our electric grids store no power on their own. So you have to have supply meet demand all the time. And when wind stops and the sun goes down, there's no electricity. Do we just turn off the electricity? We can't do that. And that makes it more expensive because, like a family with has gas cars and they're busy, and they decide to buy a solar car that works just like solar panels. They can't drive it the first hour or the last hour of the day because the sun's not high enough, not bright enough. When it rains or it snows or it gets dark or cloud cover, the car stops. So they find out they can't use it all the time, or even most of the time. So now they're paying for three cars. This is exactly what his policy is doing to our electric grid. And then add in a wind car, the same thing. And wind only blows about 30% of the time. So you can't even take it to your kid's soccer game or to an afternoon anything or to a movie because you might not get home. So now you're paying for four cars. That's exactly what Biden's policy is doing. And what's worse is they're trying to make coal-fired power plants that provided 22% of our electricity in 2021, they want to put them out of business without any replacement. It's kind of crazy world and unreality. That's one big part of it. The other big part is forcing electric vehicles on everyone, trying to encourage them everywhere. And you know, if people want them, buy them. That's great. But there's not enough lithium in the world, and there's no way to create it. And most of it gets processed in China because it's very environmentally dirty. It's hard, and they have very few environmental laws. So China controls it. They're kind of rising, and they're a rival to the United States. And there's not enough lithium in the world to make all the batteries for all the cars, they say. And then what I'm concerned with is after 7 to 10 years, those batteries wear out. Now, what happens to the $4,000 car like our 18-year-old is driving and is going to take to college? Or the poor people that, you know, and not even poor, middle-class people, the $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 used car. What's going to happen to that when you have to replace your battery that's worn out with a $10,000 or $15,000 battery? You know, all this stuff isn't well thought out, and it shouldn't be forced by the government.
So, Frank, why do you suppose they are doing this? Is this just stupidity, misguided ideology? What is it that's driving this if it doesn't make sense from an economic or an environmental perspective?
I think all of the above. I think there are some very greedy people who are making a real lot of money through the government's largesse, and the tax dollars are being rewarded. They're getting rich off this process. That's one part of it. Politicians are getting money for it. They're using this as an issue, a wedge issue, and there are a lot of kind of useless dupes out there who don't get the facts. There's a lot of media, consistent, regular propaganda. Folks, there's no climate emergency. CO2 is a trace gas. We're exhaling it right now. And Grandma said, talk to your plants if you get up close. We're exhaling on it, so it grows really well. The world, according to NASA, in pictures from space, is 30% greener in the last 40 years. And they attribute, NASA, not Frank Lassay or some other denier or whatever, they attribute it to the CO2 in the atmosphere. Worldwide crop harvests are up everywhere, even in places where they don't have access to better seeds and man-made fertilizers that also come from fossil fuels that they're trying to get rid of, too. So there's a lot of benefits, but we're getting a steady stream of propaganda that most of it is not true at all. The world is getting a better place in all terms. More people eating better, living longer, and they're working to tear that down. And then you have people who, I think, moved away from traditional religion, and now the green ideology, their new religion, they take it on faith, and they take it on faith that wind and solar are good and fossil fuels are bad, and they don't know any of the facts, and they're actually hard to get, too. You know, I know keywords, and I find them, and Google is in on the scam. They hide information. I even know the keywords and go try to find it. I can't find articles that I just read, so I start saving them all. So I understand why regular people go out there. I want to do my own research, and you're not a scientist, and you start to go, oh, this is hard, and you can't find it. And things like the misrepresentation, just one example. The continent, and it's covered by miles of ice, it's very cold, Antarctica. It has not warmed in 70 years. We started taking accurate records measured in Antarctica only in 1956, but since then it has not warmed. They did report in the last couple of years it's experienced some of the coldest winters. It's our summer up here, but winter down there. Coldest winters they've ever had ever. But if you do a search, you'll think the whole continent is melting. And that's because there's one peninsula that sticks out, and Antarctica is bigger than the United States. It's a big area. There's one peninsula that sticks out that has about 138 that we know of. Active volcanoes warming the ocean water underneath this ice shelf, the Thwaites ice shelf, the Doomsday ice shelf. So it's warming from underneath, a natural process, can't be caused by climate change, and this volcano's warming it. It makes you think that the whole Antarctica is melting, and we're all going to be doomed because this big piece of ice is going to break off and then raise all the sea levels. And the sea levels have been raising about the same, about an inch a decade or less, for the last 120 years that we have good tidal records. We have good records there. So they kind of gave up on that whole kind of scam that you can measure the whole ocean with upwelling, downwelling waves and everything from satellites in the sky. It's just not really possible to, within just a fraction of an inch. Those, you know, so they gave up on that because we have solid tidal records all over the world that are long-term. There's nothing to be afraid of there, but they want to scare people, so they'll buy this wind and solar scam. And it is a scam, folks. I'm sorry to tell you that. And that's why your electric rates are going up, and they're going to continue to go up, because as you add more part-time cars, to that analogy again, your family, if you keep buying more and more part-time cars, and you have to keep using your full-time cars, your car prices are going to keep going up.
So, Frank, how does this madness end? What do you recommend to everyday Americans, policymakers, more and more Republicans? It looks like now they even have a climate caucus up on Capitol Hill. They're caving on this issue, saying they're going to come up with conservative solutions to the climate crisis. How does this stop, absent, I guess, economic catastrophe?
Well, they ridiculed Nancy Reagan, but I would say just say no. And I think you should contact your Republicans and get them back thinking properly about this issue. We don't have a problem. The real danger in the world that you should really be afraid of is Communist China. Communist China is a rising threat to the world. They are going to surpass us as the world's largest economy. They have 1.4 billion people. They have a huge military. They are growing. They want to invade Taiwan. They're helping the Russians. And they're producing the green scam. They're producing the wind and solar and the batteries for the rest of the world. They've cornered the market in that area. And you need to communicate that to the Republicans and stop voting for any of these fraudsters who want to spend more of our money. And by the way, we're $31 trillion in national debt. There's $370 billion of money we don't have that they're going to continue to put into subsidizing wind and solar. Because without the subsidies, without 30% on the front end for the buying it, and then 30% on the back end when they use it, we wouldn't do it. Because even with that, the break even is about the length of time. This is how bad they are. The length of time to pay for solar panels that you put on your house are about the same as how long it lasts. So you front end it. You pay a bunch of money now, and you get lower electric bills over time if you buy solar for your house, but it saves you nothing. It's crazy world. But now how that scam works, and this is part of how the whole scam works, and I shouldn't tell people because it may be interesting. So say you borrow $18,000 to put solar panels on your house, and that's kind of what it might cost for a regular house. And the government will get you $6,000 back. Well, you borrow $18,000, and you get $6,000 in your pocket. You're $6,000 better off. And you get lower electric bills, but it probably won't be enough to pay back the $18,000 that you're doing. So you're going to pay back a little bit of that money all the time. And then when you sell your house, Then you have to pay all that money back, so you get a smaller check for your next house or for your retirement or whatever you use it on. So this is part of how this kind of all this money scam works. And, you know, it's not healthy for us. And I think ultimately your question is, what are going people to do? For folks, we're like sheep that have been sheared, and now it's starting to get down and where it's really hitting our skin instead of just taking some of the hair off or the fur off, is that our electric rates are going to keep going up by 5, 10, 15% year over year over year over year. They're going to double or triple in the next decade if this continues on. So we need to start saying no. And the fact is our electric supply, our electric demand across the United States, and granted, growing areas have more demand, but our electric demand has not changed in almost 20 years. It's been flat. We have more computers, we have more TVs, we have more things that we're using electricity for, but the lights are, everything is more energy efficient, which is good, but we use more of it. So we have more people, we have more business, and we've grown economically, but our electric use has stayed flat. Why are we adding more capacity and pretending that that isn't raising our rates when you don't need more capacity? I mean, if it was growing, it makes more sense to add more. And those are some of the things to think about, folks. But we need to communicate more of this and start voting that way. And yeah, I know it sounds good. You need to start really talking to the 30 and under crowd. We need to talk to more of those because they've been propagandized and they've been indoctrinated. And a lot of them don't want to hear any of this, and it hurts their feelings. And they don't have to pay electric bills. They don't have to do this. And you know what? The other part of it is energy costs are baked into everything we do. Everything, you don't think about it, but our groceries are going to go up. It's not just your electric at home. The businesses you shop at and use and for service and everything, they have to pay more. You're getting deliveries and everything else, they have to pay more. Guess what? That gets baked into everything we buy. So more inflation is on the way. We're going to see more inflation, and it's because of this anti-energy policy, and there's no good purpose for it. We have hundreds, if not thousands of years of coal, oil, and natural gas in the ground to harvest with present technology. And we're getting better technology all the time. So it's not going to run short for a while. And last thing I'll leave you with is I ask people, would you want to solve today's problems with 1980s technology? And that's what people go, what? No, no. If I'm wrong and the CO2 crowd is evil is right, do we want to solve 2060 or 2100 problems? Because that's really when it would be a problem with 2020 technology. I'd suggest we don't. Just like we don't want to use 1980s technology to fix things today. Provided we continue to have progress and economic progress, because it's dependent on having energy. It depends on, and you know, kids out there, I'm hearing a lot of you are depressed, and you're like, I don't want to have kids myself. I don't even know what to do. Why even bother? Get rid of that attitude. Solve these problems. If you really believe that climate change is a problem, it isn't about wind and solar. Those are inferior. Get something new. Get a replacement. Go to work on those problems. You can have kids. We have a bright future. And in fact, once you dig into it, you're going to find out there are less tornadoes, not more. There's no trend in hurricanes. There's no trend in floods. There's no trends in droughts. You know, we have milder winters. We have less hot summers. Those are facts. I mean, it's upside down world of what we were getting. So take heart, folks, and the young people, we need you to be engaged and move forward. The future is bright. There are less people who are starving, less people die from natural disasters. All kinds of good stuff out there, but you're being told something completely false.
Excellent. Frank, and how can people follow you and how can people find your organization online?
My organization, truthinenergyandclimate.com, truthinenergyandclimate.com. And you can sign up for a weekly email newsletter on energy issues, energy and climate issues. I do a tact where I highlight and bold and grow the important parts so you can skim it and actually know what the important part is of the articles. And I also put in my own comments there to set the record straight when it needs it.
Excellent. Frank, thank you so much.
Hey, you're very welcome, Alex. Pleasure.
Very important points to consider if we are going to save our country from those foreign and domestic enemies who have their sights set on it. We encourage you to visit us at thenewamerican.com to view more of Alex's interviews from the Heartland Institute conference this past weekend. And we will see you back on the other side of these messages.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Declaration of Independence proclaims God-given rights, and we intend to protect them. Working with people like you for over 50 years, preserving freedom and building a better tomorrow. Safeguarding the Constitution by limiting government power. We are restoring liberties, educating voters, and leading the freedom movement. Join with us. United, we will defend our rights. We are all Americans. We are the John Birch Society.
You know, the John Birch Society is a network of local chapters across the country, and we have field coordinators who organize those local chapters and keep them motivated. One of those field coordinators is joining me today from California, Mr. Calvin Clark. He lives in Nevada County in the town of Rough and Ready, which describes many of the people and how they are willing to stand up against their abusive government. Cal and his wife have three children, two daughters and a son. He's a former county Tea Party leader, former State of Jefferson leader, a third generation building contractor, real estate professional, property rights advocate, who strongly believes in and loves the U.S. Constitution. He studied under many experts, including constitutional expert Cleon Skousen, numerous John Birch Society authors and teachers. Calvin has led many constitutional study groups and participated in numerous leadership positions and boards of free institutions. He's also the father of a vaccine-injured child who was diagnosed with thimerosal poisoning from a DPT injection. Calvin has a special interest in the subject of vaccines and is very opposed to any mandatory vaccines, especially the COVID jabs. He's supported and worked hard to limit local government to its proper role. He dedicates time and effort locally and with informed local citizens working with rules for restoration of local governments. And he's enjoyed some successes in reversing trends toward tyranny. So with me to discuss all of these issues is Mr. Calvin Clark. Cal, welcome to the program. It's great to have you.
Thank you very much. Grateful to be here, to be making it through this almost a snowmageddon over here in California. Lots of winter storm pressures blowing through, and grateful to be on your show, Rebecca. You put on a very organized effort. And really appreciate your efforts.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. And as you know, it's not just me, it's a whole crew. So God bless us all, right? Well, right. You know, you mentioned that about the winter weather in California. You know, where's global warming when you need it, right?
Yeah, I mean, how much more can they raise our water prices? I feel that they never rescind or lower the prices once they increase them across the United States. Once they get a little foothold on some government plan with third parties involved in deciding for you what you need to do to save the earth, of course, you know, the Agenda 2030 events that were really well published recently, actually, this is one of my favorite new publications called UN's New World Religion. Very well done, documented with Alex Newman and Bill Jasper. And that was from the COP27 meeting in November, mid-November. Very well done. As a matter of fact, I'm encouraging everybody to subscribe to that. And as a matter of fact, I'll send you a copy if you join the John Birch Society. It's fantastic. Yes,
that's a wonderful yes. And actually that magazine too, a lot of those articles from that magazine are available online as well at thenewamerican.com. But yeah, it's great to have the magazine in hand because you can bring it with you and show it to people, you know, spread the word, because we really do have a fight on our hands, don't we, here? And it seems to be in not just a temporal way, but a spiritual way as well.
Yes. Yeah, there's some real interesting concepts that we're seeing in the world right now. You know, of course, a lot of patriot burnout. A lot of people have tried to join groups, and there's a lot of tangents out there. People want to reset their own reset of their own spiritual values and realize that. And I believe that clearly they're being aligned by the polarity of the wickedness now as never before, as the forces of evil have increased so much in our recent time. I mean, who would have ever thought that your kids couldn't go to school without a mask on or without being segregated and put back into a situation where miracles are not considered from God anymore. They're considered from government. And so people have struggled with what truth is and what the value of truth is and whether or not all truth is coming from government, a corporation, a monkey, or God, their creator. I mean, how many years have we had to look in the mirror? And then we, so many people just said, well, I have to keep my job. I'm just going to go put some nefarious products into my bloodstream. And that could result in, who knows, the testing wasn't done, as we found out later. Of course, everybody was promised this was safe and effective just based on that. And so we, the people, you know, even let our churches get locked down. And, you know, a lot of people were blaming the 501c3, 509a1 corporation statuses, but they never, some of them have never really looked into that. And a lot of people have fallen away from defending their churches. Instead, they trust government's opinion that they're the ones who did the problem. Well, actually, we the people have to own this to a large extent of our own spiritual identity that we have as we the people. We formed the Constitution. We are the parishioners of our free institutions. We have to defend them, and we have to own that. And so that
Absolutely.
Way we can heal again. Mm-hmm.
You bet. Yes. And it was the founder of the John Birch Society, Robert Welch, said that that our main problem in this country is moral decline. And you're exactly right. We will take back this country once we get on the right moral track and actually take that action. And that's what we're here to talk to you about. Tell us something about some of the John Birch Society action items that are going on in your area.
Well, thank you for asking that. We have building chapters throughout California, 35 Northern California counties. We have 58 counties in California. And since 1964, the redistricting of the state legislature happened, where your state legislatures across the United States were impacted. So a lot of people haven't built back their county governments and restored them. A lot of them individuals get carried away with the idea of saving the country by getting out of the system somehow, or to write Congress, or to watch TV. And there's a lot of people that don't understand how we got to this place where we're at. Simply, they redistricted the state legislatures in 1964, where from county geography to population. So LA County South has 21 million people. We have 40 state senators, 80 assembly. The 40 state senators and 80 assembly, the majority of them control Southern California, or are in the densely populated areas, and they control all the rest of the counties, just like Las Vegas controls Nevada, Spokane controls Washington, and on and on, right across the United States. And so before, we used to have competitive counties, very much like the electoral style. That's pretty much gone away until we restore county governments to their proper role.
Uh-huh. Right. So, and it is the county governments that have so much more power than people realize, than that is enumerated in our Article 6 of our Constitution, that our local officials have the ability to prevent any of these overreaching federal dictates to affect any of us at our local level. The county sheriff has that kind of power to say no.
Yes. And so the early parts of 2022, I was involved deeply with county government here and helped support five recall efforts of all five of our county supervisors. We also had seen the efforts of other counties across the United States and other cities. And thank you, Rebecca, for mentioning the county governments actually are where you have three branches, more strong than you would in a city government or even the school district. And so getting your sheriff, the executive, to do his job and the legislators, and like Robert Welch talked about, is restoring 500 to each congressional district. Well, I actually believe the people are starting to gather 500 on their county district level. Well, start off with your county. And if you can get 500 in your supervisorial districts, commissioner districts across the United States, we will have a new country. And I call that the eternal vigilance covenant. And that is where we can show up for 2 hours of tyranny. I call it 2 hours of tyranny. It's going to be humbling a little bit, because You may have to call grandma as your alternate to fill in for you. And I believe that if you get at least 500 with four alternates, you can call grandma and you say, come on, grandma, Uber will be there. Put your teeth in. Come on, get up there. The Board of Super, we're going to have 500 consistently in every county. And then we're going to ask the legislative body to audit the elections department like Shasta County did recently, where they told Shasta County, we want to question the Dominion software. As a matter of fact, why don't we just throw it out? So they threw it out and they're working on revamping an accountable system that the people locally will be able to audit. So 500 people is what Shasta ended up having, as at least 500 people in their base. A lot of them were State of Jefferson folks, Tea Party jokes, Tea Party folks, State of Jefferson folks, John Birch Society folks, Eagle Forum, all of these groups decided, let's just paddle in the same direction and let's support each other. Now, the John Birch Society has, you know, replanted, you know, the information again so clearly, more than ever before, right, with the information to get the message out about what we're really up against. And nullification and interposition are some of the key factors, what we can do, nullification. What the states can do, as we've seen states start nullifying the enumerated, non-enumerated powers of the federal government. We're also seeing counties do that, as Shasta County told Gavin Newsom, sorry, we don't need a public health officer. You're fired. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and this is, you had told me before when we spoke that, you know, this is what sets the John Birch Society, one of the things that sets the John Birch Society apart from these other organizations. Not that we don't want to work with them, but can you elaborate a little bit on that? You know, what does set the John Birch Society apart?
Well, I think there's so many things. If I can go down a list from the top of my head, the John Birch Society puts principles above party, above popularity, and above pocketbook. Designed organization of the John Birch Society, designed by a man who understood business, recognized that people can be bought, and that's the problem with a lot of organizations, whoever are their donors, and that's why they remain private, and I appreciate that. They have the skills and have sought out and have people like you, Rebecca, and your team, and field coordinators throughout the United States to establish activism with informed consent, unlike the jab. In other words, we invite people who are like-minded to come on board, and we approve approve their, and I would approve your membership in the John Birch Society if you have the same values. If you don't, I think take time and go to the website, study the real history, because it's true. We live in the greatest propaganda campaign of all time, and a lot of people are misled on many, many different paths. The other thing is, it's really the most prepared organization. I went and researched the library back in Appleton, Wisconsin. I actually laid on the concrete floor downstairs and filed through many books, and I have done my own research over time. You know, there was many defenders of the Constitution that were supportive of the John Birch Society, like a guy named Ezra Taft Benson, who was Secretary of Agriculture under Eisenhower, and he defended the farmers. And we live today where there's such a danger about what's happening with our food production. Here's a Freedom for Farmers brochure, too.
And we absolutely, and we do encourage everybody to visit us online. I hate to interrupt you there, Cal. You've had some great information. We're out of time. I encourage everyone to visit us at jbs.org, and we will see everybody back tomorrow.